Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, and the man to my right, screen left, is Mike North. With a brand new spanking haircut. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I got a new haircut. Really, BB missed me with the axe. That's beside the point. I got out. My head was on the pillow. Pulled out just in time. Of the haircut. Just saying. Anyway, how are you, my friend? How's everybody at the bar room? Good morning, honey. 777. Everything's going my way. Having a good betting week. Having fun with my guy, Aldo Gandia. Follow him at Aldo Gandia. Follow me at North to North. Having the time of our lives. Got a lot of stuff going on. Things are happening. Mm-hmm. The bar room is a buzzing from hockey to the hitmen, South Suburban hitmen, the Parisis with the hockey. Come on now. It's an embarrassment of riches.
It's pretty good, right? Good stuff we've got going on.
I've got Guire, Danny, and you. I mean, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Dan Aguirre is becoming a fan favorite. And the funny thing about...
A huge fan.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that show is that as soon as people log in, in the chat, they says, has Dan talked about his sex life yet?
It's always an interesting topic, except for me now. I just look at B and wave to her. And that's from room to room. You know what I mean? When we bump into each other, can get a little frisky.
Mike, tell us about this hot streak that you're on. I mean, you are chilling.
Look, folks, I don't care who you're talking about here. When you talk about front men, greatest front men of all time, you talk about a Mick Jagger, if you will. Mm-hmm. Greatest actor of all time, I'm pretty convinced it's not a Pacino, who I love, or a De Niro, mm-hmm. or a Mitchum. Burt Lancaster, a little bit close, but I had to review the works of a Jimmy Cagney this past couple days. Saw three movies he did, Yankee Doodle Dandy, White Heat, some other movies. He was a song and dance man. So I like James Cagney as maybe the greatest actor of all time.
Yeah,
because I don't think Pacino could have done George M. Cohen. That's
just me.
I think Cagney could have played Michael Corleone. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wouldn't have been cast perfectly. Cagney failed as a cowboy. Mm-hmm. The Oklahoma kid. Not very good. He tried it. So did Bogart. They said, you're back to being gangsters. But Cagney's work was widespread. So Cagney'd be another guy. When you talk about millionaire philanthropists or whatever the hell is philanthropic, I forget. Warren Buffett, okay?
Yes.
When you talk about filmmakers, Scorsese. Mm-hmm. When you talk about handicappers, everybody, the nation, mm-hmm. abuzz with my name. Mm-hmm. As I go on another historic run at 11-4 right now. It all started here on the bar room, ladies and gentlemen. Did lose yesterday. When I lose, it's sort of like a bad beat. I don't know. You're winning going into the ninth, and then the team that you're backing mm-hmm. and you're getting a run and a half, makes five errors in one inning to tie a record. That's what the Texas Rangers did. There's a reason they're bad. We're 2-1 for the week, 11-4 overall. So got a couple picks for everybody, hopefully, at the end of the show, God willing.
All right. where is the oh my gosh, I drawing a blank on his name. The bookie, the religious bookie.
Oh, the bookie priest?
The bookie
he may priest. Be making the pitch. We're not talking right now. It's a family matter because he's a he's a second cousin. And he feels I should take him for the ride. He's not the only one that's felt that way in the past. Take me for the ride. I'm the one that got you started. Mm-hmm. No, my mother got me started. That's why I take care of her. You know what I mean?
Sure.
My dad, he got me started. But the bookie priest and I have had some contentiousness. He was supposed to make one of my gambling shows. You know, he was supposed to go to somebody's last rites. He had to make a decision. He did that. The mistake he made was trying to call in while the woman was almost on her last legs of doing the last rites. So that caused a problem with me. And we're not talking right now, but soon he may be back.
Oh, Lordy. Well, Matt Nagy might be on his last rites if he doesn't get a winning season this season, right?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been thinking about this because I've been very right about the Bear quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think the one I was really wrong was like years ago with Cade McNown. Since that time, whether it be Cutler, Foles, Glennon, Flutie, I still think Doug Flutie, if he would have stayed with the Bears, would have played for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. But they had a team that was already mired in their ways and set in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Nagy once again putting himself in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm looking at it now, the correct way to do this would have been to keep Mitch for his fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be a playoff. We'd have a shot for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain why. And the still draft fields.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they go out and get Dalton, like Glennon,
mm-hmm.
like Foles, like even Jay Cutler. They go somewhere else. They already have developed a quarterback, but the media, 75% of the fans, a lot of the Bear podcasts, okay,
mm-hmm.
have convinced fans that Trubisky was a failure. No, he wasn't. Trubisky, if you read all the accounts, which I've been doing, was ranked by most teams ahead of Mahomes and Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Watson was the best. As it turns out, he may be the worst at the end of the day because of other things and situations. Trubisky was a puppy like my dog Lotto. Gets better every day.
Mm-hmm.
He was raw, 13-game player. If you look at his stats and you look at the playoff appearances and what have you, we developed a quarterback. He's not a bust. Jamarcus Russell's a bust. Tim Couch is a bust. Akili Smith is a bust. David Klingler's a bust. Andre Ware's a bust. I can go all night long, like Lionel Richie. Now, you keep him for the fifth year, sign him. If he doesn't cut the mustard, fine. But the problem was Nagy never liked him. Nagy wants his own guy. But the fact is, he's our best chance for this year, and he's gone because Nagy now has painted himself in the corner. I think they thought, although, that they were going to buy time with Dom. Okay? I've been hearing a lot lately all over the world about people that thought they were a shoo-in for this or they had time to do that.
Right.
I think they thought, actually, that Dalton, the signing of him,
mm-hmm.
would back everybody off. Mm-hmm. And whether I like Justin Fields or not, it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear Pace say today that Justin Fields doing what we expected him to do, because I looked at Justin Fields' stats, they're very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're very good.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got a problem because they see him in practice every day. So they know he's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But Dalton, if he falls on his face, and you've already set him up to do that by the first opponent, mm-hmm. unless he wins. He's got to win. But if he doesn't win, all the meatballs will be out again. Let's get rid of them, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if it's the right move or the wrong move here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Okay. All I'll tell you is by not playing Dalton last week, like he was like Johnny Unitas or Joe Montana or Brady, not playing Dalton in a new offense,
mm-hmm.
in an exhibition game,
mm-hmm.
and not letting them show themselves straight up and pretending like Fields is an afterthought is wrong. And right. I think it's a misjudgment. And I thought, once again, you should have played Dalton in that game.
Right.
He should not be at street clothes. He's not. If you sat Mitch in his fifth year with the Bears after making the playoffs last year, everybody in Chicago may not have liked it, but they could understand it. He's got track record here. Andy Dalton has no track record with the Bears, and he's got a new offense, and his coach is protecting him because they know what happens if they bring in Fields. Their job status may get shorter, period.
John says the New Orleans Saints culture didn't rub off on Ryan Pace. Otherwise, the Bears would be Super Bowl contenders and or favorites. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell everybody. Here's another thing I didn't bring up to my good friend. My God, he looks good with the beard, and he's got the hat, white hat, and the headphones and everything. He says, looks like he's ready to shoot down a MIGs. I just went back to the 70s. That's when I was really happy every morning. You know what I mean? We shot down a couple MIGs. Beautiful. My day's complete. It didn't fall short on me this week. As I look at the quarterbacks over the last 2 weeks in preseason, that three of the best quarterbacks the last 2 weeks have been Glennon, Foles, and Trubisky.
Isn't that wild?
It did not. I bet the Patriots. I mean, I bet the Giants is the last preseason game with them.
Uh-huh.
Getting three. Glennon throws a 40-yard touchdown with 6 seconds left to cover the spread.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and then I saw Trubisky just rattle the Bears. Mm-hmm. They sat him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so deep in Buffalo. Their third quarterback looks better than any of our quarterbacks.
Yeah, how about it? You
know? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. And then I see Foles. You know, everybody tried to look at that play. First of all, heck of a throw. But Horsted caught it while triple teamed, and he had to switch sides.
Pretty incredible.
I love Horsted.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I'm sorry. I love him because what everybody tried to drown out was he was the player of the game with three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But the second player in the game was Foles. 7 of 10 for 142 yards and two touchdowns. So now it's even crazier. Why isn't he traded yet? Why? If you put on a show like that, somebody's got to be waiting for you, and it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm. This is that Jesper Horsted catch. I think that one-handed catch there from Foles.
One of three
touchdowns for the kid.
Yeah, and I hate to break the news to everybody. Eldo already knows this. If you watch all the games like I do.
Mm-hmm.
The Fields touchdown happens 10 times every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pattern in the middle of the end zone where it's laid out like that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Do I give him credit for that pass? Absolutely. But calm down, people. Calm down. It's not – that's what he's supposed to do, and right. You hope he does more of it. I will say this about him. Right now, playing with third guys – and second team guys, I have more hope for him. I still think he's RG3, which isn't a bad thing if he stays healthy.
Exactly. This is general manager.
Breakdown of the quarterback position.
Ladies. Yeah, well, I want you to add to that because this is Ryan Pace's breakdown of the quarterback position.
We have a positive outlook. That positive outlook goes off of what we've seen here every day with Andy. And that's Andy going to be leading our offense as Justin's progressing at the right rate. You know, our goal all along, guys, has been to win games with Andy, and look over on that other field and see and look at this guy we got right here. Look at the future of this franchise that we have right here. That's the goal, and we haven't changed from that.
What do you think of that philosophy?
Well, I think the fact that they made the playoffs and they got rid of the quarterback that helped them get there, in fact, get there, puts the pressure on them now. Puts the pressure on them.
Sure.
I mean, you look at the kid's record, I will never get off it. I've been fighting with people for 3 years. What did we do here? What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And we now saw what, if you put people around him, not one receiver,
mm-hmm.
not a different running back every year, different tight ends, better offensive line, you're going to get what you saw. Like, I mean, you know, Carmen DeFalco said, yeah, well, I got to give him credit. He had a good first half. I go, well, that's all he could do. If he would have played in the second half, he probably scored 70.
Thank you.
I mean, that's the way that game was going, folks.
Yep.
There was revenge in his heart. I like that kind of competitor. That being said, the Bears are in a tough spot
mm-hmm.
because the first game sets the tone. They're 7.5. And how about this? I remember with Aldo and I talking about this, and Aldo, you know, people think Aldo disagrees with me a lot. No, we agree a lot.
Yeah.
Me and Aldo agree a lot. Sometimes he disagrees with me. Sometimes I disagree with him. But I did say this, and he did not nix this. When Belichick said, we're glad the Bears took Fields and that Jones fell to us,
mm-hmm.
I said, I had said the week before I watched the national championship game, I never seen Zip on the ball from a kid like that. He wasn't McElroy. He wasn't some of the other Alabama quarterbacks. And you agreed with me. And now look. Now look. His odds have come way down to be rookie of the year. And he's got Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator. Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. Bear fans, let nature take its course here. Because you got to ask yourself. Trevor Lawrence was 12 for 13 last game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Would you trade Fields for Trevor Lawrence, folks? If the answer is yes. Okay, we move on. I really don't think Trey Lance is going to be as good as Justin Fields. Maybe they both bomb. Maybe they're both okay. Maybe mm-hmm. Fields is heads and tails better than him. I like him more than Lance. But the Wilson kid looks good in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason Fields lasted that long. And the Bears thought people were dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see the other quarterbacks now producing. So we'll see what happens. He's got a tough road because he's got a head coach and a front office that right now they're guessing about Dalton. They're guessing.
They really are. Here are the rookie of the year odds that were put out a day ago. Mac Jones at plus 250. He's the favorite to win the rookie of the year. Trevor Lawrence at plus 400, Zach Wilson plus 450, Fields and Trey Lance are both at plus 750, and then the first non-quarterback is Najee Harris at plus 1,000, and then that sensational tight end who plays like a star wide receiver, Kyle Pitts from the Falcons, at plus 1,250. Mike, if you gave me $100 and say, go ahead, kid, bet on one of those guys, who would you advise me to bet on with your money?
I don't know what I meant by that. There's nothing new. It could have been your money. You could have had a house by the lake.
That's right.
I just start to think of all the wonderful things that could have happened for you. That's when I went on my 13-1 run or 18-1-1.
18-1, yes.
Yeah,
I wasn't gambling then.
Yeah, I know that.
I had a gambling problem. I have a gambling problem now. I want to bet every day.
Oh, is that awesome? You don't have a gambling problem? Listen, I never saw a guy walk up or call the 1-800 number going, I got a gambling problem. What is it? I'm up 3,000 this week. And I really can't stand the pressure. It's always, the bookie's going to kill me. Or the casino sending John Travolta type people after me, like in Get Shorty, to get my money. I have a gambling problem, and that backs people off.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're winning like we do, boom. Bottom line is, Mac Jones is going to start.
Yep.
He's been given the starting job.
Right.
They cut Cam Newton, which mm-hmm. makes the Dalton stuff even more significant.
Yep.
So I like Mac Jones at plus 250. Mm-hmm. I like Trevor Lawrence at plus 400. Mm-hmm. I like Zach Wilson at plus 450. And then I go all the way to the end, and I take Kyle Pitts at plus 1250. You don't bet one, folks. You don't bet one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's that smart. You bet three or four where you can make money. Now, with Mac Jones, if you bet 100, and you bet 100 in each one, you will lose money, but you'll recoup most of it. Okay. With Trevor Lawrence, you'll come out even. With Zach Wilson, if he wins, you well or whatever, you win $50. Mm-hmm. But the key is Pitts at 1250. But you know, it's a quarterback, it may be a quarterback award, but Mac Jones is the odds-on favorite. And Justin Fields and Trey Lance, you can't touch them because you don't know when they'll get in.
Right. Right. Good stuff, man. I was wondering about that. And then there's another poll. I put up a poll asking the question, odds on who is going to be the first quarterback benched. The odds, according to the odds makers, Andy Dalton plus 175, Bridgewater at plus 300, Garoppolo at plus 500, and Jameis Winston at plus 600. How about that?
I would bet two. I'd bet Bridgewater or Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really believe this. I've been doing some research, and I look at San Francisco's roster. I look at the quarterback, the new guy that's just doing okay. I look at Garoppolo's injury history.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran team, but the over-under for them is 10.5, and I look at their team, and I say, are they really San Francisco only a game and a half less than Tampa Bay or Kansas City? And I just can't come to that conclusion yet. I may decide not to bet it, but if I had to probably take a bet today, mm-hmm. I'd take the under 10.5. Now, don't forget, it's a 17-game season.
Right.
Look, folks, first. The buck stops here. You're not going to get any other type of information like this anywhere. Got a bunch of squares, the same squares that have been wrong for years. You come to the bar room with Feldo and Mike, okay? It's like Martin and Lewis, okay? That's it. It's like Jagger and Richards, okay? It's like Scorsese and Capra, all right? It's like Tracy and Hepburn. Oh, yeah, I'll be Hepburn. That's the kind of guy I am.
I love it.
So you come to us for this stuff.
That's right.
I just think that if San Francisco, for some reason, gets off to a bad start, there'll be all sorts of, because they don't seem to like Jimmy Garoppolo there.
Yeah, they really don't. The guy took.
And I know he's had injuries, but I think he can quarterback. And I think he'd be a better quarterback for us than the guys that we got. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. The standing there is there's mixed feelings. So, and Bridgewater, I don't know. I don't know what. That's Dink and Dunk, Vic Fazio.
It's him.
That's him. Conservative, you know, welcome to 1967, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me, there's no more. Look, I grew up when defense was king. That's no longer the case.
I know.
If you have offense, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Vic thinks he's coaching against Hank Stram. Okay. He thinks he's coaching against I can come up with a million Dick LeBeau. Okay. He thinks he's coaching against Allie God blessed Sherman, for God's sake. Three handoffs to Gifford and maybe a couple passes by Tittle. It's changed, Vic. So Bridgewater's up there because that defense better be ready because, man, he's stuck in the Stone Ages. He really is.
He really is. This is the poll results that I put up earlier this morning. Andy Dalton, 65% think he's going to be the first to be benched, and then Garoppolo.
That's hopeful thinking.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what I'm hoping. But how can you be a Bear fan and want that to happen? That poll becomes inconsequential. Right. I heard that on the news last night. Inconsequential.
Nice.
So I'm sort of proud of myself. If they beat LA, if they beat the Rams, which is possible, mm-hmm. look, what about the defense? They don't look so God blessed good either, folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we got a defensive coordinator that everybody will know his name, I think, by game five for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. we've been going through our defensive coordinators like Fazio, Pagano, now this guy, come on. It's got to be tough.
It's got to be
tough. We'll see what happens. And yep. we lost some key players in the last couple of years on the defensive side. I'm going to miss Fuller. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to miss Fuller.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him too.
Anybody want to say you're not going to miss Fuller, then you don't get it.
That's right.
You don't. There's a reason Green Bay wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Back then. Now he's gone. We'll see.
It is interesting what Mule is saying here. If Jameis Winston throws three interceptions in the first half, Sean Payton will pull him. And that's probably true. We know Jameis has a propensity of throwing interceptions. I like yeah. that word, propensity.
I'm going to try to get it in before the show's over with.
By the way, happy birthday.
I want you, first of all, it's in honor of my man, Chaz Palminteri.
Oh, yes.
I want you to find out, Aldo. I want you to look up and find out what this propensity is. And then I want you to get back to me, and we're gonna get to the bottom of this, okay?
What movie is that from?
That's from Analyze That.
Oh, I love it.
Now, remember he says closure. I want you to find out. He tells my good friend Tony Darrow, both of them, I want you to find out what this closure is all about. And get back. You know, he was getting his pants tailored at the time. So, yeah, propensity. What? You know what? Here. I want to win games. I think Bear fans now, if you present them with Dalton and Fields or Trubisky mm-hmm. and Fields,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be a good poll.
Yeah.
What would you rather start the season with?
Oh, that's great poll.
But see, here's what happened. And even my good friend Carmen DeFalco told me this on AM 1000 Friday. First of all, here's part of the problem. Carmen admitted it. Because Carmen's a great host. Mm-hmm. When you admit something, you admit it. We're all wrong about things.
Yep.
Or we all carry higher expectations.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to me. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns. And we both feel that they're going to have an underperforming year. They mm-hmm. may win 10 games, that's underperforming. They may win 9, it's underperforming.
Sure.
Everybody looked sounded good. We get to Baker Mayfield, and Carmen says, and with due respect, he says, yeah, you know, I'm just so-so with him. I go, you know, nothing makes you happy. He goes, you're right. Unless it's Mahomes, Rodgers, or Brady.
Wow.
So okay. That's what Mitch and other quarterbacks are up against. There's only three of them guys. So you got to try to figure out if your guy has a shot at beating him.
Mm.
That's why I wanted to keep our guy who's been in the system for 3-4 years and overcome all the odds. But at the end of the day, even Aldo Gandia, the great Aldo Gandia, Emmy winner. I mean, one of the pioneers of company podcasts, money being brought in.
Yeah.
Don't make me tear up. But even the great Aldo Gandia would echo the fact that you gotta better the quarterback you know than the one you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my whole focus has been here. The Trubisky stuff could not be for what, I mean, they must hate each other. That's it. Mm-hmm. And Mitch, I'd probably stop talking to him after game three, but I've never seen two guys act like everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish at the end of the day, Aldo would agree too.
Mm-hmm.
They tried everything in the world to get rid of him and they couldn't.
Yeah.
So they finally had to let him walk because at the end he was back. They tried every trick in the book to get rid of the guy. And I talked to a host, Harry Berg, in Tampa Bay last night, and he's livid about what happened to Trubisky because he's a big fan and he couldn't believe what's going on. But I said, but you got Tom Brady.
Yes.
You got Tom Brady. But what sounded to me was if Tom Brady wasn't in Tampa, Trubisky would have gotten a look-see from Arians. Yeah. But we don't know that. We never will. Right. And he didn't get a look-see from anybody, and Buffalo's the winner here from what we've seen because they sat their first two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They said Allen, who looked good, and they said, Mitch, you're set. So they sat two guys. Mm-hmm. How many teams did that? Not many.
Yep. A lot of teams could use a guy like Nick Foles. But do you think that Nick Foles has much trade value right now? Mule is asking, which team do we predict will trade for Foles?
It depends on who gets hurt. That's what's going to happen. I think Nick Foles probably signs in week one or week two. I think we're assured, no matter how many protections we put in for the quarterbacks of this great league, that we're going to lose a couple. I mean, I've seen where they've lost five, six guys in one day. So I think Nick Foles is in a good spot. He always is. He's made tons of money for being having a six-game streak. That's what his whole career is based on. The rest of it is failure. Okay? He is the homeless Eli Manning. He won a Super Bowl, and he's had six good games. Manning won two Super Bowls and in New York, being above average.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy here cashed in on six games. Manning won two Super Bowls, but with mediocre stats going through his career. As far as compared to other Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. King Pookie Nation, out of nowhere, asked this question. Do you remember Wizzo from the bubble? What does that mean, King Pookie?
I'll tell you exactly what it means, King Pookie Nation. I hope you weren't Wizzo, but once Wizzo came on, I was in my 20s. I said, no more Bozo. I've had enough, Pete. I'm going to start concentrating on more adult things. I was a Cookie the Clown guy. He was okay. But when you're Bozo, it's like he drags the rest of the cast with you. Bob Bell, the best Bozo who ever lived, by far. Not even close. And you had Ray Rayner as Oliver O'Oliver, a great, great clown and host. But then after that, it was a free-for-all of ineptness, to be honest with you.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny.
I can't do a damn show without beating up Cookie the Clown.
That would have been really cool to watch.
Oh. I mean, think about it. Jackie, that's how great an actor Art Carney was. Because Jackie Gleason was the ultimate, I mean, Bozo, huge, bigger than life. But then Art Carney could stay with him. And then you didn't know how great Art Carney really was until you saw Art Carney come back and play in future, like in the 80s, the Honeymooners, as Art Carney and how good he was. But then he wins an Academy Award, you know? That's how good an actor he was.
There you go. Yeah. Let's turn our attention to a little baseball, the Chicago baseball.
Hey!
How about those Cubs, huh? They've won five of their last eight games, but they did allow 30 runs in their two losses to the White Sox. They did win one game, 7-0 against the White Sox. What do you think about these Cubbies? Are they showing you any promise for the future?
No. But I'm glad they're winning, and they got guys with heart, and they've got guys that wanted to play. They were in the minors, some of them career guys. I think there's a couple guys that they're going to take a good look at that they really like. I think when you're rebuilding a team, you have to look, and there's no excuse for rebuilding the Cubs. You should always have top players like the Dodgers and the Yankees. You know, you don't need 37,000 every game. But to me, there's guys that you're seeing play well, and then there's guys like that shortstop who dropped the pop-up the other night that you never want to see again. So, you just look at everybody, and that includes the pitching, Mule Skinner. And, if you know, they'll be gone. And this guy Hoyer's going to start going to work. But like I've said, the Chicago Cubs should never be in a rebuild mode. But Baez is a complete tool. We found that out this past week. I mean, he just cut his stones off with a lot of people. And then you got Bryant and Rizzo. Rizzo will sign a nice little deal with the Yankees. He's perfect. He's in New York. He's Italian. He plays first base. But the Cub thing has been a debacle, more or less, to see what's happened to the franchise after only 4.5 years of winning something.
Robbie says that Schwindel is a name that belongs on those 90s bad Cubs teams.
Are you kidding me? He should belong in the 30s. What's it? Frankie Schwindel? Who has a name like that anymore?
Yeah, I actually looked him up to see, well, who is this guy? What's he done? Well, he's 29 years old. He's had like 2 or 3 Major League Baseball seasons, and he's probably seen the most action he's ever seen. But he's nobody to go.
If you put him in a pair of baggy Cub uniforms from 1937, that son of a gun batting third. Right behind Hack Wilson, for Christ's sake, Frankie Schwindel. His nickname, the white boy. Frankie, the white boy Schwindel. Why? Because he was whiter than all the other white boys, and that's all there were was white boys. Remember, baseball. You know, I'm a guy. You know, I get accused of this and accused of that. All lies. All lies. Mm-hmm. Get accused of this. Who was the first guy in the history of this great country of ours who said on the air in 1992, when people said, no, you can't do that. You can't down. Sounds like a bookie's name. Yes, Frankie Schwindel. I was the guy in 92, 93. 94, and on and on, and I'll still continue to do it. The baseball should have 2 record books, pre when they were segregated, and then post as soon as Jackie Robinson entered the fray. Period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You cannot have an accurate record book because you did not allow all of your citizens or anybody to play the game until 1948. Period. So I've called for that forever. They'll never do it, yet they'll tell you how liberal they are in their stances. They put netting all over the place. They don't want anybody to have a bruise. But, you know, they don't think about the other people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that got carved out. So I've always called for separate record books. And Frankie Schwindel would probably be a segregationist guy. If you said to me, you ever heard of Frankie Schwindel? I'd go, didn't he play for the 40 Phillies? You know?
That's right. Right field. But back to the Bears for a second. Deborah Miller asks, if they want to protect Fields so bad, why don't they just make Foles the backup and put Fields as your third stringer? But I don't think it's about protecting Fields as much as it's just they made a plan. They made a promise to McCaskies. That's why they're paying him, Dalton, $10 million. I don't think
there
it's
you
about
go. Yeah. Said it last week. You make promises. That's not a fair camp.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't think the Seattle Seahawks told their ownership, or, you know, I promise we'll play Matt Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And then Russell Wilson showed up. That promise was gone, and they had to eat the money. The McCaskies don't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this football team is Neanderthalic. Still is, in a lot of ways.
Neanderthalic.
They think to lose, to cover themselves up politically. Period. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They try to always spin things. Mm-hmm. They don't tell the truth all the time. They don't. I can't believe this guy, Nagy. I can't. Okay. They brought all these guys that are also rants that they thought were going to be difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. I mean, this team was 8-8 last year. I think this year, with Trubisky, the over-under would be more than 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gave the Tampa Bay guys one of my favorite stats. Eldo goes, Mike, you have a million favorite stats about the Yeah. Yeah, we had the one argument by the water cooler that day, and they got a lot of you. I said, but I told these guys last night from Tampa Bay that Trubisky was 9-1 against Detroit and Minnesota. They were floored.
Look at that.
How do you get rid of a guy like that? I go, because we didn't get Mahomes. And that's how the discussion became. Mahomes wasn't even favored over Watson or Trubisky with most draftees. So that's where the guys got pissed off. They didn't know about the Detroit-Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I said to everybody, and I've said this before, Fields won't go 10-0 against those two teams. And Fields won't have Mitch's stats after 4 years. That's my opinion. And it won't be maybe because of Fields. I'm seeing the same. It will be because of who's in charge, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Because I think if Mac Jones is with the Bears, and he's even better than Dalton, he's sitting.
I agree.
Where in New England, they go, screw Cam Newton.
Yep.
He doesn't want to get the COVID shot. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to do that. I said this last week. 2015 was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What do you think about what our man here, I'm sorry, where'd I go? Oh, the Yorkshire Pudding Man. He says, what do you think about
sort of hit like turbulence for
that's right. Buckle your seatbelts.
when he called the plays, I don't know what he's saying. What do you think? He called the plays last year. They were ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But then what does he do? He brings Trubisky in for one play and calls a bootleg for him to get hurt, and he gets hurt. There's your one. He's been against the kid forever. No reason to call that play. No reason. Ever. And you hurt the quarterback, and he bounced back to save your job. And this is the debacle we're in now. We got Andy Dalton. I was right about this, folks. I won't back down. And Mitch made everybody realize that, even though they were playing, oh, I don't want to hear what they were playing. Because the Bear defense didn't want to stop Mitch. They like Mitch. And if you're Allen Robinson, you got to be wondering, what the hell is going on? And I'm going to be honest with everybody. Yes,
indeed.
The 93 or 94 over-under, he had 102 catches with Mitch. And an extent with Foles. I don't know if he's going to have those kind of catches. They're going to double team him. And how do you get rid of this kid? I don't care. Look, it takes a lot for the Bear brass to, they finally get maybe a guy right, Adams. But I think, Eldo, what I saw, those were two difficult catches. He did catch him.
Yep.
But he didn't have separation on any of the plays that he was given, for the most part. But he caught the balls.
Right.
Don't you give him the benefit of the doubt?
Yes, indeed. It is interesting that Rodney Adams plays so well in preseason, and then he initially made the 53-man roster. But
I couldn't believe they cut him.
Right. When Breshad Perriman became available, they put Adams on waivers and probably
– must be faster, man.
Yeah. He'll probably be stashed in the practice squad today because they had three open slots when the morning began. But it doesn't matter. I mean, the guy played so well in preseason, and Perriman is kind of a journeyman. Been four or five different teams. He's never caught more than 35 passes.
Blah, you know, blah. When the Bears were bad? Last week I was thinking of taking the over.
Mm-hmm.
7.5. This week I'm thinking of taking the under. You know why?
Right.
And I don't mean this in a bad way. But this is my language. We're picking up other people's garbage. And you know what happened with Bear teams. I don't care if you're talking late 60s, 70s throughout, until late 77. Then after the Bear Super Bowl years, we started picking up other people's garbage. And when you do that, when they throw the garbage your way and you pick it up, and they weren't good enough to make the football team over there, and you think they're good, that you don't have a good football team. You don't. Who is the second receiver on the Bears? Mooney? I think he's going to have a short shelf life. I do, because he's not big. He's not big. I've seen small receivers from Dick Gordon to James Scott. Great receiver. James Scott.
Yeah.
Great receiver. You don't last long when you're little.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the problem that I had with the re-signing of Tariq Cohen was his size, and that his durability is going to be a concern. And what happened?
What's wrong with him? He's not going to be back until game seven?
At least.
Tweets like he's healthy.
I know.
Can you do that? Tweet like you're healthy? Is that a good saying? I don't know.
That's
tweets like he's relevant. He's not. Like Ozzie Guillen used to say, if you're hurt, you're not you're of no use to me.
What? That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand that one. I thought he'd be ready. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's and Ryan Pace would not answer the question, how many surgeries has Tariq Cohen had? Well, we don't want to get into all that.
Somebody must have heard something. And then they asked him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, we don't want to get into it. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Tariq Cohen might be done. I don't know.
Right. I think he's afraid to say, yeah, he's had multiple surgeries and his career is in jeopardy. I think he's afraid to say that.
But isn't it better to be honest that way?
I agree with you.
Right. We drafted this kid. He's super. We all saw him play, folks. Mm-hmm. He helped us. He helped propel us. We couldn't foresee. This is why I should be the press secretary. We could not foresee. The Chicago Bear organization. Mike, yes. Next question. Yeah. What about Tariq Cohen? What's about this he had two, three surgeries. Is he going to be back? We don't know if he's going to be back, but I'll tell you this. Before he had these surgeries, we made the right selection. We knew we felt good about him. He was a catalyst for our football team. Injuries in the National Football League happen all the time. From the great Gale Sayers to even Dick Butkus. You just don't know when your time's going to come, but hopefully you'll come back from these surgeries, but it's going to take longer than we anticipated. Is there anything wrong with saying that?
I don't think so.
No. You got to be honest. Don't go, oh, he may be back. He'll be back sooner rather than later. No, he won't be back later rather than sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the Bears have always, they're secretive, so they think. But they're always brought out into the open with the nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I want to get back to baseball because I need your opinion on the whole Javi Baez situation and the thumbs down. What do you think about that whole thing?
Can't do that. See, he never worked retail. If people came to my hot dog stand, you know, and I served a pretty good product. But after 5 years, a guy said to me, I've never really wanted to say anything, Mike, but the last year or two, your hot dogs haven't been all that good. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go, well, yeah, here's to you, buddy, even though you've been coming in for 5 years, you know, and for the 2 years I had a bad product because I decided to cheapen my product. You know what? Thumbs down to you. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. Once again, I'll say it. So he's gone from there. I talked to a well-known New York talk show type of guy. He told me he's dead. He's dead in a lot of free agent circles. But in New York, you know, he might have burned a bridge. I know he came through the next night. Lenny Dykstra, who I love just reading his Twitter because he wants to fight everybody in America. Uh-huh. Lenny just let him have it. Former Met, you got to be a man to play here, you MF-er. You got to be a man. And if you got a problem, come see me. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on in New York. Here in Chicago, you have reporters saying, oh, it's a shame that maybe New York people won't see the great play of Javi Baez. The guy's hitting 212.
That's right.
But you know what? The media in Chicago, lots of them, they're fans, and if a player talks to them, they get, I don't know, they get all excited for some reason. You got to tell the truth. Yeah, the whole thing has just been a debacle with the Cubs, but then the Mets get him, and look what he does. And you got Lindor doing it, too, who stinks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them stink. For what? For that kind of money, and they made, I would never give Javi Baez $250,000, you know?
Yep. Robbie's right. The fans have given him a pass for a long time. I mean, he's an exciting player in so many respects, but the fact is that he makes so many mistakes. Let me show you.
How about when he ran to first base, pounding his chest because he almost got in the fight with the Reds guy?
Yeah.
And he even tucked his jersey. Just undisciplined.
What about this swing that he swung? He swung as soon as the pitcher released the ball. Look at that.
Unbelievable.
Look at
he's got things on his mind. That's the Chicago media. He's so exciting. He's got things on his mind, I'm sure. Come on.
that's the worst swing I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. It has to be the worst.
And what's funny is if you follow my Twitter handle, you follow Twitter, you see the people that make these comments and you go, wow, you were supposed to be objective? You know? My God, I know what he did. We're happy he won the one, but the launch level killed him. Launch level has killed a lot of these players, you know? And now they're going back, a lot of teams, to small ball.
Yep.
You know, level swing, doubles, triples, bringing contact hitters back in the game because the launch level and the nonsense pushed by certain national entities was just absolutely ridiculous. You're pushing launch level and exit velocity like it means something during a ball game.
I know.
I never saw Rod Carew hit a ball over 70 miles an hour. And the guy won 7 batting championships. How many people remember the scorching line drives of Rod Carew? You know what I remember? Chopper down the third base line, bunt down the first base line, blooper down the right field line, soft line drive up the middle. Same with Tony Gwynn, although he could hit harder. But the exit velocity and the launch level and being on ESPN highlights has killed some of these guys.
Yeah. That has to be replaced with, like, betting information. You know, that home run, if you would have bet $100 on name the betting service, you would have won, blah, blah, blah. That to me, is much more interesting than exit velocity. What the hell?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Ernie Banks hit some of the most first and second and third row home runs I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And he played in a field with the shortest power alleys.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
in fairness to Ernie, he hit some in the well. The well goes to 350.
Right.
So he lost some homers down the line. Yankee Stadium's 297.
Mm-hmm.
Wrigley Field's like 350 down the right field line. But he also got helped by hitting first, second, and third rows over to 370. And Mike Murphy, who's an old friend,
Murph,
measured home plate to center field where it says 400. It's not 400.
How much?
And that's not exactly center field if you look at where they have the 400.
Yes.
It's like 397.
Oh, look at
see,
that.
See, so it's all deceptive. I mean, how do the Cubs, can I just ask everybody this? I'm older now, as you know, and the little things bother me. Not big things, just little things that nobody pays attention to. That's how I stuck around for 30 years. Because what ends up being a little thing turns into a big thing if you present it accurately. I'm watching stadiums. I watch Oakland. I watch Sanford. I watch all these new stadiums. I just want to ask a perfect question. How did the Cubs get away without having an outdoor bullpen? How? How? Part of the game, the charm of the game, is being able to talk to the relief pitchers. The Cubs had it down. Why couldn't they put the bullpen back there? Because they had seats, yet they're behind a barricade. Okay? You don't see them, right?
Yeah, you don't.
And everybody, oh, that's okay. No, it's not. I want bullpens back. That's my first order of business. I want the Cubs bullpen back.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of nonsense was that?
Yeah, I agree.
We can't do the renovation, but unless we have no bullpens. Oh, we can put them in the garage. What used to be the garage back there. We used to put all the equipment.
Well, they don't need the seats now, I'll tell you that.
Wow. Well, baseball's down, man.
And there's
a lot of, I mean, here, can I just say, you know, people go, I don't care if it's Aldo Gandia. I don't care if it's my good friend Randy Merkin. Even I go back to Jesse Rogers. Mike, bring something new to the table. Quit. We know you did this and did that. We're tired of it. Bring something new to the table. Quite frankly, I try to bring something new to the table. Nobody pays all that much attention anymore. I look at bullpens, and nobody's going to pay attention to that. But how did they get away with it?
Yeah, how did they? That's a good question.
I got one. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Kennesaw Mountain Landis, his name, was on the MVP award.
Oh, jeez.
They basically, and maybe he was,
mm-hmm.
the baseball writers voted him off that award because mm-hmm. of being a segregationist.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's fine. First of all, 1927, if you weren't, you wouldn't be around long. Okay? You'd be done.
Times were different then, huh?
Times, I'm sorry, were different. But that doesn't mean that he should be given an award named after him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the writers who were there at the time, some did, but some didn't. There are writers in the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
okay, mm-hmm. that were bigger racists than him. Will the writers of today, who were so swift with their acts, and the guy basically saved the game of baseball by mm-hmm. evicting the premises of the 1919 White Sox, mm-hmm. even though it's glorified now in Field of Dreams, and mm-hmm. there's betting in every damn baseball stadium. And we know if you look up the great baseball writers, just go great baseball writers, look them up, and then see what their stance was in 1919. About allowing blacks in baseball. And look at some of their language. And why are they still in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame? But you get the other guy out. The hypocrisy of it all stifles me. That's all I'm going to say. They should all be out if they did that. But at the time, if you did promote that, you would lose your job and you would have lost your readership. Period.
You make a good point. I mean, guys like Ty Cobb are in the Hall of Fame, and he's a very well-known racist.
Oh, my God. Well, wait a minute. Anybody before 1947 is up for scrutiny. I mean, anybody. So this nonsense that they put the guy out that saved the game because there were no blacks in baseball when he was in charge, there were no blacks anywhere. Anywhere.
In sports.
Anywhere in sports or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There was no blacks in government. There were no, I mean, they had their own sections of town. And they still do in a lot of cities. So I worked for the Chicago Defender. I know what it's like to be the only person of color in a place. That's what I was with an all-black newspaper. Okay? That's why, to me, Jack Johnson, of course, is the greatest athlete who ever lived, ever, because he fought in front of 15,000 people that all wanted to kill him after the fight.
Yeah, before, during, and after.
And after. And he beat everybody's ass. He's my favorite. And many people of all colors don't even know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm going to say. You're getting rid of Mountain Landis's name. And I saw Giambi's held up the award. It just says Mountain. Oh, we can't have that. Okay. Start looking up your sports writers, folks, and read their history and read some of their columns and you read some of their language. Read some of Jack Johnson's language, what they use towards him. Go see The Great White Hope. Watch it 10 times like I have. Okay? Okay? See, I've always said I could teach an African-American history class, especially sports history. Okay, but that might cause waves. But I know more about it than 99% of the black athletes. I'm confident of that.
What do you think about what Richard Long says? He says Landis banned black players from baseball. There had been black major league players before him.
And he deserves to be out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. I'm not arguing that. I'm mm-hmm. arguing the writers.
Mm-hmm.
When he did that, what was their stance? And mm-hmm. I don't remember blacks being, maybe there were, but I'll tell you this. They always talked that it's Jackie Robinson. So we can talk about the history. I know the Negro Leagues weren't formed because blacks were allowed in baseball, even way back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could have our own sense of history. The Kansas City Monarchs weren't around because there were black players before. Maybe they were. I don't know. Papa Bell, cool. Papa Bell wanted to play in the 30s. I know that. And all these other athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josh Gibson, who I loved. Cool. Papa Bell. I mean, what they did with basically Buck O'Neill was criminal. You knew for years he should be in the Hall of Fame, and then he dies and you put him in afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of nonsense. That's all it is.
Just a quick Google search tells me that there were actually four black players before mm-hmm. Jackie Robinson. The first black player was Moses Fleetwood Walker, who played
yes.
before 1900.
Yeah. I mean, but then after that, how long did he play? You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not known, but I'm not denying there weren't black players before. Mm-hmm. There, I mean, people say, well, there were Latin players before Jackie Robinson, but I'm talking about the American-born blacks. For the most part, you're right, because those guys were ignored, just like Larry Doby's ignored as being the second black player in 1948, but 6 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. after Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of bad history to go around. But for writers to say, that guy's out, but our guys are in, and then you read some of their columns. I spent the day doing it. It was brutal.
I want to touch on the White Sox before we get out of here. Tim Anderson was placed on the 10-day injured list. Concerns about injuries with this White Sox team overall? I mean, they seem to be getting healthier, and then all of a sudden, one more injury.
No, get healthy now. You got a month to heal. You got a big lead. La Russa knows what he's doing. Maybe hamstring this and that. I'm not worried about that. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about once they start the playoffs, I'm worried about the catcher's position defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Not offensively. Grandel's been hot. Okay. I'm worried about that position. I'm worried about the White Sox defensively. Not that they've been awful.
Right.
Okay. But I'm worried about left field defensively. Mm-hmm. I worry about shortstop defensively. And I worry about catcher defensively. Mm-hmm. You got Grandel, you got Eloy, and you got Timmy. Timmy's been much better this year, made 6-7 errors. I mean, that guy was making, so he's been pretty reliable. But he's got to make the tough plays. Sometimes he has trouble making the tough plays. Mm-hmm. Eloy still doesn't know to get out, let Lewis Robert take everything that he can. Okay, so I'm worried about that. And Grandel, defensively, I'm not a fan. He should have boxing gloves on back there. But hitting-wise, that's fine. But we got hitting. So what we need is good called baseball games. And we need, please, dear Lord, when there's a throw from the outfield, catch one. Catch one. Jesus. I don't care if it's on a fly or a hop. He's afraid he's going to get run over and he drops the ball. He's that's a big
right.
man.
That is right.
Come on.
Guess what, Mike?
You know I love my wife.
Yeah! I love that. This is the time of the show. This is the time of the show where you make money. That's how it works here on the Mike North Advantage. He scours the... I don't know what he scours, internet or whatever, but he comes up with winners for us every
day. I do my own picking. I don't have to scour anything, okay?
That's right. I'm sorry.
I'm alone in a room, and I just stare at the wall going, this is what it's come to. I love this show. We're going to have another sponsor soon. I got this funny
thing. Oh, look at this guy. Yeah, collecting sponsors left and right.
Here we go. All right. Let's do two games tonight.
Two games. All right. Let's write these down because these are two winners. We hope.
I don't need the devilish laugh from you as I'm trying to find a winner, okay? You know, I don't need that, okay? Scaring the hell out of me. Scaring everybody. Okay, here we go.
All right.
I'm going to go first. The over-under in the Mets game was 7.5. I think it's going to go to 8. Mm-hmm. I'll take the under in that game. Don't care who's pitching. I took down all the stats. Take the under. 8. We're off a win last week, folks, with the Baltimore Orioles. And let me just check real quick. I want to see that number. Just people get to see Mike North in action behind the scenes.
That is right.
This is what I do. MLB odds.
Look at this guy.
That's it. The chick has been good to me.
She's, you know, I'm dying to see what she looks like.
Well, I don't know what she looks like, but she's a comforting voice as you're going downhill. No, it's 7.5 still.
7.5?
Under in the Mets game. And then I got to check the line out for this one game. NCAA football odds.
Ooh. While you're doing that, I'm going to put up on the screen. People know that I'm a big Notre Dame fan, and Notre Dame.
I didn't know that. Are you really?
Yeah, I love Notre Dame. You know, it's those days on Sunday morning where Lindsey Nelson. Thank you, Lindsey Nelson.
I know what it was, for God's sake.
So I watched the Notre Dame before every Bears game, and
half hour show, 10:30 to 11.
Exactly.
Lindsey Nelson would do it. Mm-hmm. Paul Hornung, what a catch!
And then Paul, yep.
3rd and 5 for the Irish from the Notre Dame 10. Yeah, it was fantastic. God bless them. Okay, so I got the under Mets, and tonight we're going to take the Citadel and Coastal Carolina under the 55.
Under the 55.
So we have the Mets under 7.5. Wow, and the under 55. In the Citadel game, folks. So you got something to bet today. Some are early games. Look at the baseball calendar. Check out what you got to do. And those are the two picks for today, folks.
That's it. And that's a perfect way to close the show. Two winners brought to you by Mike North. Follow him on Twitter at North to North. Yes. Follow me at Barroom Network.
Oh, Barroom, I love it. You got them all. Yeah. We got all the shows. We got basketball. We got football up the yin yang.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word. Those are two words not used anymore. Politically incorrect. Yin yang. I might be canceled after that one. Yin yang. Then you got, we got them all. We cover basketball. We cover base. You know, we got all sorts of guys and people that come on and do football, have bear shows, Aldo and Danny Aguirre, the South Suburban Hitmen, the Parisis. I'm sure, Aldo, you got a couple you'd like to squeeze in there.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Peggy with the her show, podcast. God bless her, you know.
We've got a show coming up in an hour. Greg Gaber, the former scouting director of the Chicago Bears. Yeah, he's going to look at the entire roster and give us his thoughts on who's in, who's out, and who knows, we might get him to swear.
You know what I love about Greg? He's respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll tell somebody, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Because of the salary cap. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. I find myself, I think Greg and I have a lot of the same type of theories of football.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoy him, and I'm glad he's back this year.
Yeah, I am too. And so you'll see him in about an hour here on the Barroom Network. Mike, say goodbye to your fans.
God, we're blessed, aren't we? Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy Bear Barroom coverage. Enjoy Friday. I'll be on Saturday morning, because those darn pesky White Sox are playing winning baseball. Yeah. We'll be back with some football on Saturday morning, but we have the Odds Couple podcast. Check out the AM 1000 app. And also the 11:48 bonus pick, of which I've won 7 out of 8 now after winning last week. So had a good week. I'll see you, everybody.
All right, everyone. Bye. We'll be right back.